Hello and welcome to Jerry the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Yo.
When we last left off, Sun Wukong had just killed someone in front of fucking Buddha himself and rejoined the pilgrimage.
Yeah, I don't know what consequences he's gonna face for that. Is it any?
I think it's not really any.
Okay, yeah, that's... Well, I suppose I can't say he never faces consequences. He was imprisoned.
For 500 years.
For like 500 years, that's a good stretch. That is a very good stretch.
So, the chapter starts with, we were telling you about Tripitaka, who obeyed the instructions of the Bodhisattva and took back Pilgrim. Along with Eight Rules and Sha Monk, he severed the two minds and shackled both ape and horse. United in mind and effort, they pressed on towards the Western Heaven. So I've mentioned this stuff briefly before, but like this is the kind of poetic imagery of the novel and of like Buddhist stuff.
Buddhist stuff.
Wukong is the mind monkey, and there's the horse that is like the will. And in the last chapter, there was two minds, and they were in disarray. And now there's one mind, and we're back on track. And I will stop pretending to understand these metaphors, and we can move on.
It's poetry, baby.
So pushing on, it starts to get extremely hot, which is odd because it's late autumn. And Zhu Baji thinks it's because they've reached the place where the sun sets in the west. There's supposedly a kingdom here where every evening the king has to send people out onto the battlements to beat drums loud enough to drown out the sound of the sea boiling from the sun setting in it, because without that, the noise of the boiling water would be loud enough to kill all the children in the city.
Wow.
I'm not sure how making more noise helps with this problem, but...
No. I guess it hits to that point of overwhelm and you just gotta...
Yeah. So Wukong calls him an idiot, not because the story is nonsense, but because they're just like nowhere near west enough to reach that place. But they stop at a house and they ask an old man there about the heat. And he says they're about 60 li from the Mountain of Flames, which is 800 li wide and constantly on fire. It's pretty much impossible to continue west from here.
Pretty much. There's some, I don't know. I mean, Wukong, again, with the imprisonment, is used to lots of fire, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, the Wukong, as we've seen, can just go to the Western Heaven anytime he wants. The problem here is Tripitaka.
True. He is squishy and human.
Mm-hmm. So Wukong decides to buy a rice pudding off a passing food cart. He pays for it by turning one of his hairs into a penny, which I think is the first time he's done this. And he finds it too hot to hold, let alone eat. So everything around here is hot. The food is too hot even for Wukong.
I mean, it's sort of on brand with the flame place.
Yeah. So Wukong asks where the flour to make this comes from, and the man explains that you know, with everything's on fire, there's not much plant growth around here. So the man explains that there's an immortal named Iron Fan who has a magic palm leaf fan that can extinguish the fire. And that's the only way they're able to plant and grow things around here. Otherwise, it's too hot for anything to grow. And Kong's like, oh, wait, that sounds useful. Tell me about Iron Fan. And so the people of this region make offerings every 10 years in exchange for the fire to be temporarily put out. And Iron Fan lives in the Palm Leaf Cave in the Jade Cloud Mountain, which is, it's 1,450 li to the southwest.
So they make offerings just to turn it off for a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there any way they can, you know, like negotiate for a little longer?
Iron Fan knows, Iron Fan, you know,
if, I mean, you want to keep that, puts, that stream of passive income. I understand but
if Iron Fan puts out the fire like long term, then no one will know more offerings.
Mm.
Gotta get in on the hustle culture.
I might need to go. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta rise and grind, you know, have those multiple streams of income.
Yeah.
Get up at 5 a.m. and drink ground glass in order to prove you hate yourself enough to succeed.
Yeah. So yeah, Wukong heads off to the Jade Cloud Mountain to ask to borrow the fan. And at the mountain, he runs into a woodcutter and asks him about Immortal Iron Fan. And the woodcutter says, oh, you mean Princess Iron Fan. Because Iron Fan's actually a woman, it turns out.
Girl boss.
Yeah. Gatekeep the fan. Maybe there'll be some gaslighting too. We'll find out.
Use gas to start fire.
Yeah.
Girl boss.
Sell fan to put out fire.
Yeah.
And she's also called Rakshasi. I'm really sorry. I had trouble finding how to pronounce this word.
this is your frantic Googling at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
An attempt was made.
I tried to
let everybody know that an attempt was made.
I tried to look it up before, like a few days ago as well, and also had trouble trying to do some last minute. Someone's going to just like link, go on Twitter and send me a link to this. So this took me 7 seconds. It's the second result of Google. What are you talking about? So yeah, after we put this episode up on Patreon, Janet O'Keefe provided us with a link to a YouTube channel with some Sanskrit pronunciations. So here is both the male and female form of this word said by someone who hopefully knows how to say it better than I do.
Rakshasa, Rakshasi.
Rakshasa is the male form, Rakshasi is the female form. So thank you for that, Janet, and back to the episode now. Anthony Yu notes that this is a word that just means female demons, and it's weird that it's being used as a proper noun. He says that there might be some pun involved that he just doesn't get, or the other maybe also just didn't actually know what the word meant particularly well. But anyway, I'll just call her Iron Fan to avoid butchering words any more than I already do. So, She lives in this region, but no one here particularly cares about her. No one here gives her offerings because they don't have any real use for the palm leaf fan. It's not constantly on fire here, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess she's, why not set them on fire? I don't understand. Well, I guess, you know, you don't want to shit where you eat. This is her home, you know.
Yeah, so to them, she's just this kind of demon who lives nearby, and she's also happens to be the wife of the Bull Demon King.
Okay.
Do you remember the Bull Demon King?
I remember the Bull Demon
King. Do you remember Bull Demon King's sons, Red Boy? And his, Red Boy's uncle was really pissed off about Wukong, like, converting him to Buddhism and like, making him Guanyin's servant. So he's not looking forward to having now to talk to that boy's mother.
No.
So Wukong, he's a bit anxious about this, but he goes ahead anyway. He knocks on the door and he asks for Big Brother Bull. The Bull Demon King isn't here. He actually doesn't live here. His wife is here, though. And she is not fucking happy to see Wukong. And immediately puts on her armor and goes out to meet him with two blue-bladed swords in hand.
Oh dear. It's gonna get real.
So Wukong tries to convince her that actually her son is much better off now. He's immortal, he's deathless, he's transcended life and death, all that good stuff.
Oh yeah.
And she says, well, he might as well
it's
be dead.
Upgrade.
Yeah. She says he might as well be dead to me because she can't see him anymore.
Aww.
And Wukong offers to go to the Potalaka Mountain and bring him back for a visit if she'll let him borrow the fan.
I don't know. Family estrangement is so complicated.
Yeah, so she makes an offer similar to what some other demons have made before, which is let her hack at his head with her sword a few times. And if he can withstand that, he can have the fan. And much like all the other demons who have tried to make a deal like this, they immediately renege on it as soon as this doesn't actually hurt Wukong at all. So she tries to run away when she realizes that hacking at Wukong's head is not killing him. And they Wukong chases after her and they fight for a while. They fight until it's dark. And she realizes she can't really win this fight. And she pulls out the ace up her sleeve, which is the palm leaf fan.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So one. I mean, oh, sorry.
No. I'm just wondering how that exactly is going to work, but I am happy to listen.
Yeah. So she fans Wukong once, and it blows him away, and he keeps flying through the air all night. He can't land, he can't do anything until he doesn't hit the ground until the morning. And he recognizes where he's landed, though, which is Little Sumeru Mountain, which is tens of thousands of li away from where he was. But he does realize that the Bodhisattva Lingji lives here, who helped him defeat the Yellow Wind Demon. Do you remember there? Yellow Wind Demon.
Oh, yeah. That's a while back. There's been so many demons over the past couple of years.
There has been. So he decides to ask for directions from Lingji. So Lingji assumes that Wukong is on the way back from his pilgrimage. He's like, oh, well done. Congratulations. You've got the script. He's like, no. No. All this shit happened. But Lingji knows what the Palm Leaf Fan is. He's familiar. It's an ancient treasure from the time when chaos was divided, the world was created, all that good stuff. And it can blow someone 84,000 li, although Wukong actually only got blown about 50,000 li because he's cool like that.
He's probably dense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of monkey in there.
He's made of stone.
He's like the pit bull of monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pitbull isn't the dog, the extremely dense dog. Very concentrated dog, not the rocker, who, I don't know, assume is made of the same flesh and blood as all of us.
Maybe he's made of pit bulls.
He could be. We don't know.
So, but Lingji does have something to help Wukong. So years ago, Buddha gave him two treasures, one of which was the flying dragon staff that he used to help with the Yellow Wind King. But he still has the other one, which is a wind arresting elixir. So it'll let Wukong withstand the push of the fan. So he gives Wukong the elixir and Wukong heads back to the Jade Clown Mountain. So Wukong asks Iron Fan for the fan again, and she attacks him. And this time she tries to pull out the fan and she fans Wukong and nothing happens because the elixir is good shit.
Mm-hmm.
So she is basically out of options and she just runs back inside and locks the door. Wukong is able to turn into a mole cricket and cross through a crack, and he finds her demanding tea from her maid. The maid is kind of panicking and she pours it really hurriedly and it bubbles up a bit. So it's like when you like, so I think there's a whole like thing about like how to pour tea correctly, and if you pour it like really correctly it should be totally smooth and there shouldn't be any, it should be like one single solid stream, there should be no like bubbles and like minimal ripples and all this stuff.
Yeah, they get, I understand a lot of East Asian cultures get very serious about it.
Yeah. But so it bubbles up a bit, and when it does, Wukong dives inside one of the bubbles.
Inside one of the bubbles?
Yes.
That is an incredibly cute image, actually.
And he gets swallowed by Iron Fan as she drinks the tea, because she's also drinking it really quickly. And she doesn't notice. So inside her stomach, he turns back into a monkey, and presumably a very small monkey.
Presumably.
Shouts at her again.
And we don't know how big this demon is, do we? Is it mentioned?
I don't think how tall she is particularly mentioned. Like most of them, unless it says otherwise, they're just like in human form. So she is presumably size of a woman. which is a very varied measure, obviously, but
yeah, I had her as short in my head for some reason.
So yeah, Wukong shouts from inside her to give him the fan. And he drives his foot down into her stomach, causing incredible pain.
Oof.
And then he makes a pun on dim sum, because it doesn't translate, but it's because dim sum literally means to touch the heart, and then he headbutts her in the heart through her stomach.
Oof.
Or he probably wouldn't be saying dim sum, because dim sum is like the Cantonese for that phrase, but like I don't know. It's the same characters that make up dim sum in Cantonese.
Okay.
And because he's in her stomach, and then he hits the heart, so it's food and the heart, and it's a pun. Anyway, she agrees to give him the fan, and she has it brought out. And so he jumps out of her mouth, thanks her for lending the fan, and heads back to the Mountain of Flames. So, fan in hand, he gets everyone back on the road. They head towards the mountain. They get another 40 li. Again, the li is like half a kilometer. So they were 60 li away. Now they're 40 li. Now they're like 20 li away. So they're about 10 kilometers from a mountain that is 400 kilometers wide and always on fire.
Fun.
For idea of scale, I guess. And the ground here is getting so hot that it's painful to walk on. So at this point, Wukong's like, okay, let's use the fan. So he steps forward, listed up high over his head. I'm gesturing this out for some reason, even though the audience can't see. MJ can't even see me. I don't have my webcam on.
Nope. Asog, the cat, can see you.
She could, except she's asleep. So I've been gently petting her while we've been recording, actually. She's very cute. So yeah, he lifts the fan up over his head and brings it down hard on the flames. Unfortunately, fanning the flames just fans the flames. And the mountain just blazes hotter than it did before. And he tries it again and again, but it just keeps getting hotter and hotter. And the fire leaps up 1,000 feet into the air. And Wukong runs back to everyone else. The fire burning the hairs off his thighs as he runs and tells them, get the fuck back. So they run back again another 20 li before they regroup and figure out what to do. And Beshi is like, hey, we've like fought a load of things that had fire before and you've never been burned. Why is all the hair off your thighs burned off? And Wukong's just like, I wasn't prepared for this. I have to do my magic fire resistant spells. It's not a plot hole. Shut up. I didn't have my spells prepared, so I got burned.
Listen, I just got distracted. It happens to the best of us.
It's not a plot hole. While they're talking, an old man appears and introduces himself as the local spirit of the Mountain of Flames. He offers them a meal. And he has a demon with him who seems to just be like his servant. The demon has a hawk beak and a fish jowl and a copper pan on its head and some food. A
fish jowl?
That's what it says, yeah, a fish jowl.
I've never associated fish with jowls.
And a hawk beak. It's an odd image. Maybe he has gills? I don't fucking know. He's just there to bring them the food anyway. He doesn't do anything else. So Wukong asks the local spirit about extinguishing the fire, and he's very helpful and tells them, oh yeah, you should go borrow the family fan off Iron Fan. And Wukong just like holds out the fan, is like, yeah, this one. And your man's like, no, that's a fake.
You got, fuck sake. that's
fake. You got owned.
No.
So, if you want to find out how Wukong deals with being tricked, you'll have to listen to the next chapter, which might be a while. We're actually going to take a break for a little bit.
Yep. Record more episodes. Get more content in front of your face, eyes, ear holes.
Yeah.
Mostly ear holes, as this is, as obviously, yes, of course, we are a podcast.
Yeah. If you're a patron, don't worry. We only charge like by episode, not by month. You won't get charged if we're like taking a break. So.
Yep. You only pay for what you get.
Yep. And
get some real fun things.
Also as an aside, I know you have not watched Dragon Ball or read it or read Dragon Ball, MJ.
I haven't.
Lady Iron Fan is basically Chi-Chi in Dragon Ball, who ends up being Goku's wife.
I should do that someday.
You should read Dragon Ball or get married.
Oh, read Dragon Ball. No, I don't want to be in a heteronormative legal prison. I know this is breaking the hearts of so many listeners.
Chi-Chi in Dragon Ball is he's Ox King rather than Bull King. I guess just like different translations, but she's Ox King's daughter in Dragon Ball. And ends up marrying Son Goku. That will not happen in this book. She is already married.
Fair enough. Okay.
But yeah, if anyone who has watched Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z, you can imagine Chi-Chi here if you want. Although she's like also a child in, like, at this point of the story in Dragon Ball, because Goku is also a child.
So maybe
don't imagine her as a child bride to her dad.
No, don't
mix up the stories. Details get a bit messy there if you try.
We don't live in your head and we can't see what you're thinking. But if we could, we would be appalled. And you know, can we see what you're thinking? Who knows?
I can't fucking see what I'm thinking half the time.
True. Me neither. But yeah.
Bye.
Bye.